Remembering D-Day on BBC Radio Kent with Dominic King.
We left from the port of Dover, and as the veterans enjoyed a hearty breakfast, I watched as they chatted. It was amazing. They were sharing jokes, and for a moment I could see them all as younger men. As the Pride of Provence left the eastern docks, the white chalk face of Dover started to stretch out behind us. I want to tell you the story of Fred Garrard, who lives in River in Dover and was a member of the RAF's Air Formation Signals of Fighter Command. He told me, for him, that towering symbol of England means more to him than most.
Always reminds me of peace, tranquility and safety. Because it's like a big fortification when you look at them like that. You think, well, how the hell can any enemy get up there unless they do the same as we did in Omaha? And the weather was that bad, so we pulled into the mouth of the Thames for a while. And the next thing we knew, we was just off the coast of France, by Gold Peach.
What does it mean to you to be going back to that area, to be with your friends?
Very emotional, very emotional. I'm a very emotional man. Might look a bit hard at times, but times when you get a lump in your throat and it's hard to control it, especially when you hear of other people who died and you came through, and you think to yourself, well, on both sides, why was it he died, or why did I live, like, you know?
Jack Clark, tail gunner, RAF Bomber Command, Ken Rowlands, able seaman, Royal Navy, Albert Fagg, private, all from Folkestone, Fred Garrard, RAF from Dover, and Ken Moore, private from St Mary's Bay.
When it all started happening, it was all quiet. And I thought, well, them people that were over there, they don't even know we're here. Then all hell was let loose.
And we did meet the big boys until we got well inland, and then we met the Panzer divisions.
One thing comes to mind to me was, just as we was going in, a plane came across quite low, and our gunner didn't wait to see who he was. He opened fire. The plane immediately turned round, flashed his wings so we could see the underside, the black and white markings, and with that he gave a short burst into the water just to remind our gunner that he was a friendly aircraft.
The German guns on this side of the channel opened up, and the ship in front of the one that I was on, its deck cargo caught fire and it had to move into Dungeness.
Well, I was an air gunner and I was flying in Lancashire. I had the time of my bloody life, and anything I didn't like, I shot at. I was 18 to 20,000 feet, and if I didn't like it, we came lower. I softened up the place for the lads who went across.
We hope you enjoyed your crossing with us this morning and wish you a safe and pleasant onward journey.
We've just arrived at the port of Calais. Now we'll get on the coach and head towards the beaches of Normandy.
Of all the lives a man can lead, there's none that's like a sailor.
Andy Coach with the Normandy veterans on board has just arrived at their hotel here in Caen. Good chats on board?
Yeah, they had a good old sing song.
Did you?
Yeah.
What were you singing?
Yeah, they were army songs, you know, take me back to dear old Blighty and all that, yeah.
Here you are then, arrived.
Yeah.
How did you find this place?
See you later. Hey, did you have a good journey down?
Well, we made it. If you want to know your way around, can't ask us.
Absolutely, I'll be the first to ask you. The most extraordinary scene stretches out before me here in Normandy. The beaches at low tide, and on the wet sand sit three large landing craft. People have come today from all over the world, and we may all have a grasp of what happened here, but few of us will ever know what they know.
D-Day has come. Early this morning, the Allies began the assault on the northwestern face of Hitler's European fortress.
We were disappointed because we were already waiting to go, you know. But we were still a bit, you know, you went down, you said, well, I wonder if we'll be coming back on this one.
We put him in the lorry, we took him up the road to the hospital, and they put him on a stretcher, and he said to me, can I have a cigarette, Fred? So I said to the orderly, I said, can I give him a cigarette? He says, might as well. He said, it'd be his last one. And with that, he died.
We were fighting for freedom, for freedom of the world. It's nothing to do with courage whatsoever. I know what fear is. If you haven't lost your freedom, you don't know what it is.